So what I'm actually, I'm just on this theme. I'm going to spend the whole month of May talking about the soul. And if you follow any of our services in Sturbridge or the things I'm doing online or when we're here. So does anybody have a soul? Come on, we don't have long today, but I want to get you thinking about your soul and what God wants us to do with our soul. David says, he restores my soul. Remember? Psalm 23. And again, I just want to cover some really basic things today. I'm sure you know a lot of this, but I think it's so vital that we grasp what God wants to do in our soul. Can I suggest to you probably about 95% of the problems you have happen in your soul? You may have some problems in your body, but you can fix them or pray and get healed or go to heaven or I don't know. It is what it is. I don't think we really have any problems in our spirit. Our spirit's been made anew in Jesus. How many of you have a spirit? Did you bring it with you? Come on, so let me read a verse here, but I just want to suggest a few things today. Number one, think about that. I think the difference between a happy person or an unhappy person, somebody who flourishes in life, I do think nearly all of it comes down to our soul. You know, there's a verse, I was reading it this morning, 3 John verse 2, that says, "Beloved, I pray above all things that you'd prosper, that you'd be in health and wealth, but even as your soul prospers." And come on, we're going to spend eternity with God, okay? Agreed? Yes. Are you in?
Thank you.
But God wants you to, he doesn't want us to kind of grind our way through life and just about make it, like by this, I made it to heaven. I think God wants us to flourish in life and do well. And I don't mean we won't go through persecution or hard times or, you know, a lot of exterior things. But yet in the midst of that, God wants us to be people where our soul, he literally wants to transform our soul. Agreed? Imagine if I went around the room and said, what's the call of God on your life? What's the call of God on your life? We might have 20 different answers, mightn't we? I'm called to do this, called to do that. You know, all of those things are true, but the real call on our life, more than anything else, is to be transformed into the image of Jesus.
Thank you.
Yeah, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are the, help me, called according to his purpose. The next verse, Romans 8:29, says, whom he foreknew, did he predestine that we would be transformed into the image of his son. God's call on you is not to go to Africa or New Canaan or Massachusetts or anywhere else, Florida. Go Florida. I pray every day God would call me to Florida. I know, yeah. I felt him say recently he wants me to go to Iceland. It's probably what happens when you get a pray to go to Florida. But come on, haven't you seen that? God wants to transform us. Yeah? Amen. Bless you. Blessings. I just want to share a few things about how that actually happens. So let me read this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5. You guys know this, but verse 23, it says, may the God of peace, the God of shalom, himself sanctify you completely, or wholly with a W-H-O. May the God of peace sanctify you wholly. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will also do it. Amen. So we have a spirit. You know, the Lord said to Adam, the day you sin, you will die. And literally, the day Adam and Eve sinned, humanity died. They didn't die physically, they didn't die in the soul, but they spiritually, they were dead. They were cut off from God. God is a spirit, John 4, 24. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God's a spirit, and we were created. We weren't created like the animals and the fish and the plants and the trees. We were created in God's image to have communion with God. And when we sinned, come on, that part of us that could communicate with the spirit, God who's a spirit, died. And the good news is the Bible says in Jesus, when Jesus died, we died, that old nature in us died. But the great news is when Jesus rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. Yeah, you've been resurrected. And our spirit's been made anew. Our spirit's been recreated. Do you know Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God? He was the only begotten Son of God. He's never called that after Calvary. He's called the firstborn amongst many brethren. And when Jesus, if I don't want to misuse language, but literally Jesus was born again, born anew, raised from the dead, if you will. When he was resurrected, we were resurrected. And right now, our spirit is seated in heavenly places. Our spirit is not, we're not seated next to Jesus. We're in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are absolutely one in him. Come on, think with me right now. How much love does Jesus receive from the Father? I mean, we couldn't comprehend it. It would be like the radiation of this. He's just getting, he lives basking, blazing in the love of the Father. How much joy does Jesus have right now? Come on, consider him. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now seated. It says, for the joy that was set before him. Do you know when Jesus was on the cross, he was kind of looking for, he wasn't going, oh, this is terrible. He was on the cross looking at the joy set before him. Have you ever been on a journey, just like a long journey, and your eyes are set on that destination, Florida, the glass of wine you're going to have when you get home, or whatever. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. But that, it's like you're going on a journey, and you're thinking, like, just, you know, I'm going to get home and kick my shoes off, and great. And maybe you're going to see somebody you haven't seen for a long time, and you're on the flight, the planes, trains, and automobiles, but you know there's a destination. Jesus went to the cross for the destination of the joy that was set before. Right now, Jesus is full of, literally, Jesus has the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, temperance, self-control. He's living in the fullness of all those things, and so are you right now. And I think the challenge is that we have those things in heavenly places, but God wants us to, he wants us to get them in our soul. God wants your soul to experience here on the earth what we have in heaven. How's it going for you? And that's our challenge. Can I say that more than, like, in one way, we want to see revival, don't we, in our land? Agreed? We want to see the healings and people come to Christ, like, amen, I'm with you completely on that. And yet, part of, just, it's not the whole thing, but part of that challenge is God wants there to be revived men and women who wander the earth, who we are our own revival everywhere we go. And in a way, we just release what we have, and that releases revival to others. We should be that move of God. And to do that, I think our challenge, what I just want to look at you real quick today, is how do we pull things out of our spirit into our soul? Because it's possible to be spiritually born again, born anew, to have everything in heavenly places, and then to live like nothing on earth, to live miserable, to live bound by depression, bound by self, bound by, you know, to live an untransformed life. Would you agree with that? Yeah. And again, I don't think God's trying to condemn us, but he really wants us to grab a hold of that transformation. C.S. Lewis used to say it this way, and I'm probably going to misquote him, but you know, he basically said there are two types of people. There are people who continually push into God being at the center of who they are, that God is the center of their life. And then there are people who basically push into this place of making themselves into the center of their life. And whether you agree or disagree, what C.S. Lewis is basically saying is the one produces heaven. When we spend eternity saying, Jesus, be the center, be the one I worship, we're living in heaven. And when you get a group of people who are basically saying, me, like, I want to be the center, that is hell. We don't, I mean, the devil and his angels, though, but you don't need them. You will produce hell when you make yourself the one you worship, this self, the God, the center of everything. And I think in the time we have today, but the time we have, you know, here on the earth, I think the Lord wants to transform. He wants us to be a transformed people. He says, don't be squeezed and squashed into the mold of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah. So how do we do this? Come back next week. No. But how do we do this? What is our soul? Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. I think the danger is we always tend to, it's like we look at three little boxes and they're all really squished together in the wall. Whatever you think about, you'll end up feeling about really quickly. And whatever you feel something about, you end up thinking about it. And these things are all interwoven together. Again, just want to give you something really that would help me anyway today. You know, we have our thinking, our will, our volonté, our volition, our willpower, our chooser, and we have our emotions. But in my experience, you might have a different opinion. I think most of that functions at a subconscious level, at an unconscious level. Most of the things you choose, you don't choose consciously, you just choose them. Most of the things you think, they're not flashing on the screen of your mind, they're just like on autopilot. Most of the things you feel, you're not always aware, oh, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. You're just kind of going through those things and you only notice. Have you ever driven somewhere and you arrive an hour later and you can't remember how you got there? Yeah, can you? And here's the point, you were doing everything correctly and driving and pushing pedals and moving levers and indicating and, you know, stopping and starting and all that, but you were just on autopilot. I think so much of what we do on autopilot like that. I was at Kylie and Stu's a few weeks back, and I was watching their dog. Has anybody met their dog? What's it called? Chloe. Okay. God loves Labradoodles. Or Golden Doodles, is it? Golden Doodle. And here's the point. I remember, you know, we have a Labradoodle called Aggie. It was a sad episode in our life when we didn't do a great job of raising our dog. And she's a good dog, but I tell you one mistake. If I could go back, if we ever get another dog, one thing I know I'm going to do is get one of those invisible fences. Yeah. And here's the point. I was watching Kylie and Sue's dog the other day, and, you know, they leave the gate over, and the dog will... I saw somebody walking past, and the dog bounded towards it, and then... like skidded to a halt. Well, you know, I'm sure you all know, you know, they put these like electric wire around the thing, and when the dog's collar gets near it, the dog gets a little shock when it's a puppy. And really, really soon, the dog realizes, you know, pain will come when I get here. And when a dog realizes that at a young age, you can switch the electricity off, you can chop the wire up, it will spend the rest of its life and it will not get near that thing. Yeah? Can I suggest to you that's exactly what we're like? We've grown up in a world without God. To some degree, most of us have grown up, even if our parents knew God, we've been taught all of these things. You can do this and you can't do this. This is who you are. This is who you are not. This is what's possible. This is not what's not possible. And it's like we have all of these invisible... If you went to Chloe the dog, if she could talk, which is possible, and said, why is it you don't go past this line? I'm not sure she'd even know. I was wondering if we could get one of those kits for Dylan. But I wouldn't do that. But my point is, I bet she doesn't even know. It's just something inside of her that says, like, this far and no further. She's, like, internalized some way. And I want to suggest to you, our soul is full of those barriers, those ceilings, those identity things, those definitions. Yeah. The older I get, I want to try to say this correctly, the more amazed I am. I feel every few years I come back and I look at the subject of rejection. And I think, I always feel like, yeah, I get that. I know that. I understand that. And it's, especially being a pastor, the more I spend time with people, the more I know nearly about 98% of people are going around filled with rejection. And it's like we learn how to deal with it. We learn how to function and we learn how to interact with others. And yet, you know, within, on the inside of all of us, not all of us, but most of us, there's this thing that's constantly saying, am I being judged? Am I being rejected? Am I, you know, what are they thinking of me? All of this kind of thing. And do you know, heaven has none of that. Jesus took rejection on the cross. He was a man of sorrows, rejected of men. He took that on the cross. Why? That we might be not rejected, but we're accepted in the beloved. And I just want to suggest to you, we have all of these like little scripts in a computer going around on the inside of us. We think, well, that they're just little unconscious feelings and thoughts, but they determine how we live and how we don't live. Yeah. How do we change them? Well, you get prayer, you get anointed oil pulled on your head, you fall over 20 times, and no. I think, how do we change them? Real quick, number one, we ask God to show us those things. Yeah. Search my heart, Lord, and know me. Lord, if there be any wicked way, wicked isn't always sinful. Wicked just means something that's not of you, that's not of heaven. Lord, show me the invisible wire. Show me the things I don't see. Show me the attitudes, the things in my soul that, you know, a lot of the time there are things in our soul that don't please God, but it's not that God looks at them and goes, I'm annoyed at you. It's rather God looks at them and goes, I hate those things because they hurt you. I hate those things because they do you harm. Not that they're harming God, but that God loves us and they're harming us. And I think if we could be praying and saying, Lord, show me my soul as you see my soul. Again, I don't want to get too technical here, but I want you to see that your spirit, you've got nothing to do, no work to do for your spirit. Your spirit's arrived. Baby, you're in. You've got it. You're perfect in the spirit. Yeah? John says, he that is born of God, that's your spirit man, does not sin. Your spirit's in heaven. It doesn't sin. It doesn't have any hang-ups, no rejection. No, it's all good. Your body, well, take care of the thing. Feed it. Try and give it good gas. And, give it the food it needs, rest, sleep, you know, just take good care of your body and you can. But most of my problems aren't from the spirit or the body. Our soul is where those things are. So again, real quick, how do we change these things? Number one, ask God to show them. Number two, as you walk through life, I don't know if God sets this up or it's just the way things are, but you know, as we go through life, the situations we enter into, especially with other people, show us what's going on the inside of ourselves. Do you know, it's very easy to walk with God if you live on a desert island and never meet anybody. Come on. Have you ever been in one of those places where you're having a great day with God, you just sort of float around with worship music on like Benny Hinn or something, you know, 2 feet off the ground, and it's great, and I love you, Lord, it's so wonderful, and then your family comes in or somebody and suddenly, you know, and it's, no, okay. Your dog comes in and I'm trying to get out of this sermon real quick, but come on, have you ever thought, you know, other people take away your peace or other people cause it? They don't really. The problem's always on the inside of us. Amen. And I think if we could learn, if we could be intentional, if we can look as we interact with others, Lord, what are the buttons they press? Because the buttons are there in the first place. And it's not their job to get rid of the buttons, or it's not actually God's job, although he wants to help us. Rather, it's our job to see, and life has this way of showing you what's going on in you. You guys are really quiet today. It's good. Come on, I think as like speaking as an American. Oh, come on. At least 1 month now. Come on, I think as a nation we should go through things like the COVID thing we've been through. We have done, and reflect and look and say, what can we learn? If that were to happen again, how would we deal more effectively with that? What went right? What went wrong? I think we should look at our relationship with China, with other nations, and say, how do we, you know, sometimes there's a time to recalibrate and look and not kind of blame, but say, what can we learn? What would we do differently. And I'm saying, as individuals, we're going to go through seasons. And if we will say, God, show me what's happening in my soul. Yeah. Boom. Nearly done here, but what do we do with two more things real quick. Number three, what we need to get, if we find one of those invisible wires, we find one of those scripts running around on the inside of us. I know we've all heard this and it's a no-brainer, but what we've got to do is replace those scripts with God's scripts. We've got to, can I say to you, most of what the prophetic is about is not telling somebody, oh, you're going to go to Germany and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. It's rather simply calling out what's already there. In a way, it's basically Bible, but it's Bible declared. It's God choosing some of the logos, the general truth, and declaring it. And the goal of it is not that we go, oh, that's nice, and that when will that happen to me? But rather that we should prophesy to ourselves what God prophesies to us. And that, in a way, God says things to us because we need to hear them and assimilate them and make them our truth by which we live our lives. And, you know, it took me a while to get this, but I'm really sure this is true. You know, the danger with a lot of our Christianity is we have things we believe in our head and our heart doesn't believe them. It's possible to have a really good doctrine on healing. Jesus is the healer. He died on the cross for our sickness. It's his will to heal. And I have all this thing, and it's all true. But your heart can be saying, yeah, I don't believe that. And your head saying, yeah. And faith is not in the head. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And in the same way, we can know we're accepted in the beloved and have our heart full of pain, full of rejection. We can be carrying around this internal belief that we don't deserve things from God. You know, I find so many people, you know, it's a tough thing, but it's not that hard to get through. But if you didn't have a great relationship with your father and somebody talks about God being a father, part of you, that doesn't completely make sense. Now, that may be true, but it's not a truth you need to live by. God can change that and transform that, amen? But there's, like I said, there's those things he wants to write in the tablets of our heart. Good. Hey, come on, I'll finish with this. Last thing, but the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, self-control, temperance. And I'm forgetting two. Anybody? Come on. Here's my point to you today. That is actually the character of Jesus. And you could add other things to that list, but you don't have to work to produce fruit any more than an apple tree needs to, like, one, two, three, and produce an apple. No, it abides. And it's not the fruit of your effort or of the God wants the fruit of the Spirit in our soul, but it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the soul. So all of those fruits, you've got them right now. Come on, I want you to see this for a minute. Think of how the Father loves his Son. Can you just imagine how God the Father loves his Son? I mean, just the blaze, the passion, the no parent has ever loved the child more than the Father loves the Son. Agreed? And right now, your spirit is the recipient of that love. Wow. I mean, just imagine if for the rest of your life, you could live in the physical, the emotional experience of God coming and just hugging the living daylights out of you and loving 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 you. You know, you'd print a t-shirt, you know, if God be for me, game over. You know, it's just like, can you see that with Jesus? That's how Jesus lived, where he's so loved by his Father that anything else is just paltry. Anything else is sort of ridiculous in a way. Any sense of trying to win some game, get a few more people in the crowd, you know, do one thing, do another to get people to, you know, give him likes on social media, as it will, praise. It's like, it's utterly irrelevant when you know you're loved by God. Come on, I don't go through them all, but imagine, like I said, the joy Jesus has experienced right now. You and I really believe that. God wants us to live in the fullness of that love, to live in the fullness of that joy. Will we ever make it here on the earth in the absolute fullness? No. But we can go as far as we want. So how do we do that? We do it, number one, by hearing the truth. Come on, I've nearly done here, guys, but track with me. How do you come to Christ? You hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you act on the gospel, and then you experience the gospel. Come on, imagine somebody comes today who's not a Christian, and they hear, you're a sinner, Jesus died for your sins, he offers you the gift of life. You hear it. You believe it, you respond to it, you call on the name of the Lord, you pray a prayer, you take that step towards Jesus, you act upon it and you activate it, and then you end up in the experience of, oh wow, God saved me. How do we receive healing? We hear the message, the word of faith on healing, we believe it, we activate or act upon it, or somebody else does even, and then we experience it. How do we live in the fullness of God's love? You've got to preach the gospel to yourself, to your own soul, about God's love. You've got to believe it. You've got to activate, act upon it. Yes, Lord, this is true. Even when I don't feel it, it's true. And you end up living the feeling. How do you live in the fullness of joy? Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 1 verse 8. He said, believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How do we experience that joy? We've got to daily believe it. We've got to preach to ourselves and say, Lord, I thank you. Your joy is available to me. That joy that you have in heaven, I have right now. We have to activate it. How do you act on joy? You rejoice. Well, I don't feel it yet. That's the time to do it. That's the time to clap your hands and sing whatever. It's like Karen said, like came in here, like, oh, I don't put words in your mouth, but it was all way down, all doing the Martha thing, whatever. And when we actually begin engaging with the Lord, we end up feeling it. If we're waiting for joy to get joy, that's like waiting for heat to put wood in a stove. What we should do is we believe we've got it, we act upon it, and then God brings that. So here's my challenge to you today. What does God want to do with your soul? Who do you want your soul to be? Yeah, who do you want to be for the rest of your life? And I would do some work with Jesus. I don't think we all have to be the same and we have strengths and, you know, different giftings, but what does God want to do with our soul, and how can we partner with him in those things? How can we choose to take the things he gives us, like a prophetic word we get, and so engage with it that we internalize it like the dog with the fence? So it dictates how we live when we, even without us being aware of that. How can we live in such a way that we believe there are no limitations upon us? How can we live in such a way that we've got, it's not a theory in our head, but deep in our heart, we believe we're loved and treasured by the God of heaven. Amen. Good. Let's pray together. Can we do that? Lord, I thank you, Lord, I thank you that you are interested in our soul. Lord, I thank you, as Peter said, we've been made partakers of your divine nature. And Lord, I thank you for that which we have in the Spirit, but I just pray you'll continue to journey with us, continue to work in us. Lord, I pray this would be a season when we get traction, we move forward in some of the things you've called us to do. I pray we would experience here on the earth that which you've given us in heaven. And Lord, we thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles. We love those, and we say more, Lord, more of those. But I pray that our very lives, I pray our transformed life would be a message to this world. I pray that we will be formed. Our very soul will carry the image of God, not just our spirit. Lord, I pray people will get near us and see Christ in us, lived through us, chosen through us, thought through us, felt the emotions of God through us. And I just speak your life, your love, your grace, and your blessing on every person here in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Well, thank you, guys. Back at you. Hey, if anybody'd like any prayer, we'd love to always want to do that. And feel free to hang out a bit.